Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the movie Penguins of Madagascar, we meet four penguins named Skipper, Kowalski, Private, and Rico. They're kidnapped by an angry octopus named Dave. I'm married to a Dave, so don't take any. Just forget that. I said that. A long time before, Dave had been at the Central Park Zoo. He had a roomy tank. He had a great location. He had monkey house views. And he had an adoring legion of fans. Dave was the octopus of a thousand tricks. He was the total package. But then, these cute penguins showed up, and everything changed. The penguins stole the show, and no one was interested in Dave anymore. He was shipped off to another aquarium, but then the same thing happened again and again. Penguins would show up, and he would be out. He was shunned, forgotten, unwanted, and alone. Dave says, "I came to realize that some creatures are born to get all the love. The rest of us get nothing." So he's plotted his revenge by creating a serum to kill all of the penguins of the world. I'll let you all watch the movie to find out what happens. Hey, jealousy. It's as old as Cain and Abel. And yet it keeps showing up over and over in novels and songs and movies throughout the world. Somehow, we humans and cartoon animals alike are still grappling with what it means to want what others have, to want to be better than others, or to get the better of others. So somehow, it's not surprising that the book of James, which was written so long ago, still has something relevant to say on the topic. Listen to what James says. "Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will always also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." Ouch. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, really, what's the harm in a little envy? It's not really all that bad, is it? Well, James thinks it is. But you see, he's looking at it with a wide lens. He sees the long view. He understands that there are two different kinds of wisdom in this world: earthly wisdom and wisdom from above. Earthly wisdom suggests that in order to be, we have to have. In order to count, we have to possess. In order to matter, we have to attain. Earthly wisdom tells us that there's only a finite number of resources in this world, and so it sets us up for competition. And that competition sets us up for envy and selfish ambition. All of us find ourselves envious of all sorts of things, big and small. The neighbor with his new car, the coworker who got the promotion, our friend with the perfect hair. And social media doesn't help, of course. When we see others through the lens of Instagram or carefully crafted Facebook posts, it's easy to look at our own lives and feel like we don't measure up. In fact, in her TED Talk on jealousy, literary critic Parul Sigal suggests that jealousy is the currency of social media. But beyond that, our whole society is built on the notion that the more we have, the better we'll feel, whether it's money or power or prestige or possessions. And how do we know that we have more, except when we compare ourselves to others? That's earthly wisdom. The problem is, when we let envy and selfish ambition go unchecked, they eventually lead to violence. Did you know that jealousy is the leading cause of spousal murder worldwide? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder, James says. Now, James is talking to a whole Christian community here. He's not suggesting that they're all literally going around committing murder. But he does want them to be aware of the result of unchecked envy and selfish ambition. He wants them to see that their conflicts and disputes are causing a form of violence among them. It may not be a physical violence, but it's a violence that tears one another down and tears at the seams of Christian community. And while their natural inclination might be to blame the other side or some external forces, James wants them to look first into their own hearts. He wants them to recognize that their unchecked envy and selfish ambition, their cravings that are at war within them, have led them here to conflicts and disputes. Earthly wisdom leads to violence. Larry Wood is a preacher and a writer in northern Michigan, and he writes about a conflict within the Catholic Church where he lives. One group wanted to renovate their historic building, but a different group wanted to leave it the way it was. He says that the group opposed to renovations littered the county with big red signs that said, "Preserve St. Francis." And then they filled the airwaves with calls to hold your money. Worshippers were horrified to find their church conflict on the front pages of the distant Detroit papers. But meanwhile, Wood says, the children of St. Francis, just like children elsewhere, have led them. They're busy with missions work. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. While earthly wisdom leads to violence, wisdom from above, wisdom from God, leads to peace. And it begins with looking first to our own hearts. Author and blogger Glennon Doyle Melton says this, "I don't know much, but I know that each time I see something heartbreaking in the news, each time I encounter a problem outside, the answer to the problem is inside. The problem is always me, and the solution is always me. If I want my world to be less vicious, then I must become more gentle. If I want my children to embrace other children for who they are, to treat other children with the dignity and respect every child of God deserves, then I had better treat other adults the same way. And I better make sure that my children know beyond a shadow of a doubt that in God's and their Father's and my eyes, they are okay. They are loved as they are, without a single unless. Because the kids who bully are those who are afraid that a secret part of themselves is not okay." Do you remember that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth"? Do you remember the words? "And let it begin with me." So how do we do that? Now, it would be really easy for me to stand up here and self-righteously tell you that you shouldn't be jealous or have selfish ambition, and then leave it at that and sit down. But that would probably make you mad, and it wouldn't be very helpful. The truth is, I struggle with jealousy a lot, and some of you probably do too. I think James knew that. I think that he knew that all of us struggle with jealousy at times. I think that's why he gives us that helpful guidance in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." Now, I don't have all the answers, but I would like to share with you two things that I think might be helpful in our struggles with envy. The first is John Wesley's covenant prayer. If you're not familiar with this prayer, I'd encourage you to look it up. It was a prayer that was often used by the early Methodists as a way of reaffirming their covenant with God. And I understand that West End has a tradition of saying this prayer after the New Year. A few years ago, I went through a period of really intense jealousy. And I found that reciting this prayer helped to put things in a little bit of a perspective. The modern version of the prayer goes like this. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, says James. At its core, Wesley's covenant prayer is about surrender, about letting go of some things, our cravings and selfish ambition, so that God can use us. And in my experience, when we do that, God does use us in ways that we might never have imagined. I think John Wesley knew a little something about wisdom from above. The second thing I think that might be helpful for us this morning is what Perul Segal characterized as turning jealousy into a problem of geometry. Where we once stood in opposition to someone of whom we're jealous, we are invited to figure out how we can realign ourselves so that we're standing with them. When we allow ourselves to admire others rather than resenting them, to stand with them rather than against them, we open ourselves to the gifts of being in relationship with them. And something tells me that might lead to peace. I know someone else who's in the business of geometry and realignment. Someone who came down from above to be in relationship with us. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You see, Jesus came to stand with all of us, even those we envy, even those we resent. When we draw near to God, when we stand with Jesus, we align ourselves with those whom we might otherwise resent, and we open ourselves to the gifts of relationship. Wisdom from above. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen.